Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, gamers, and welcome to the Naked Gaming Podcast.
That's right.
I'm Lee Milner.
That's right.
You're Chris Barrow.
That's right.
And this is Ireland's second most popular gaming podcast, according to the latest statistics from iTunes.
That is right.
Is that all you're going to say?
No. Isn't that amazing? Number two in Ireland.
Yeah.
Well done, everybody. Yeah. That's immense.
So that's Ireland.
New Zealand.
New Zealand.
In the UK.
Did we reach Canada yet?
I think we got to number 248 in Canada.
Ah, we're still there then. So, we're there.
The new I in iTunes stands for Ireland. We love you so much. Thanks, everybody who downloaded the episode.
Yeah. Well, last month we were live on the BBC.
Good, wasn't it? It was fun.
Yeah.
We had Pikachu in a Santa hat as our mascot.
Yeah, and we actually heard the voice of Ash Ketchum.
Really, he just kind of came into here. So he's kind of back in my throat and, you know, he's got a lot of energy.
That's Veronica Taylor. There's a special extended edition of that interview. Just look for the Naked Scientists In Short Specials podcast and you can find around 15 to 20 minutes of her talking about her career there. You can also download last month's episode right now, of course, and subscribe.
This month?
Well, there aren't really any new games out, to be honest with you. But there's lots of news to talk about, like a Pokemon with a gun. And also there's a few games to look out for later this year.
Isn't there the Australian Open Tennis 2?
Oh, yeah, that is a game that's out. Yeah, we can do that. Here's a little bit of what happened when we hit the ball with the racket / controller. Find out which of us won the Australian Open.
I would love to know how many people would bet on that. They'd bet on me, obviously, because I've already won you at rugby. I've already won you at go-karting.
Oh, yeah. It's not going well in the history of me versus you, is it?
Nah.
We'll see what happens later.
Now, I feel sorry for Alex Rhodes.
Why?
Because hasn't he gone on holiday?
Yeah.
A skiing holiday, I think. Yeah. And what have you asked him to do?
Well, we interrupted it.
Oh, the sounds you can hear in the background aren't the game. I can't switch the sound on because my battery's so low. They're actually the skiers underneath us.
Did you really get him to play a skiing simulator on his skiing holiday?
Well, I just thought it'd be funny that he's in the...
You can't even leave him for 2 minutes.
No, but he's in the Alps and he's taken a break from skiing in the Alps.
Are we paying him?
No. On his holiday, he's playing a skiing simulator. He's probably standing there looking out the window going, what am I doing with my life?
He loves games.
Also, this is super exciting news. The voice of The Witcher, a.k.a. Geralt, is joining us on this show.
What?
Now, Geralt is just part of my voice, so it's not something I have to work terribly hard to achieve.
Yeah, we're going to hear from Doug Cockle.
Do his voice.
That's mostly what it is.
That sounds like the grunting in the tennis.
It does sound a bit like the tennis, doesn't it? No, he goes like this. I'm Geralt, and I'm behind you.
Can I try?
That. Yeah, of course.
I'm Geralt.
Whoa.
And I'm behind you.
That's pretty low. You need a little cough now, don't you?
Impressed? Anyway,
I'm
scared?
I'm pretty impressed. Well, the reason why is more people are playing The Witcher 3 now than ever before, even more than when it launched. That's because of the Netflix series, which I loved, and also there's various reductions in the price of the game. So we will hear from the man himself, the voice of The Witcher. What does he think of Henry Cavill's voice in the new Netflix series? We'll find out later.
And Chris and I head to a gaming bar.
And obviously I like video games and that, so I thought, maybe do my own twist on it, make it with the craft beers and the consoles rather than PCs, and make it like a social place where people can come and hang out and play games and drink beer.
I think you should subscribe to this programme. Make it your New Year's resolution.
When this comes out, it's the 21st of January, so it's way too late for New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, but, you know, are you telling people not to subscribe to this programme?
Yes, I am.
All right, oh dear.
It's still sort of New Year then, fine. So what game should we be looking out for? Well, here's our How to Spend All Your Money in 2020 correspondent, Lee Milner, with three games to keep your eye on.
...2020 is going to be a huge year. I'll start with a game that was the definitive role-playing game when it was first released in 1997, Final Fantasy VII.
You're not real. You're
Cloud. I have a favor to ask of you. Run away. You have to leave. You have to live. Hold on to that hatred.
And coming later this year is the highly anticipated Final Fantasy VII Remake. Promising improved graphics with those classic in-game battles, it's definitely one for the fans. Remember the story? The world has fallen under the control of the Shinra Electric Power Company, a shadowy corporation controlling the planet's very life force. You play as Cloud, and then it all gets a bit complicated.
Have you been a good girl?
The Final Fantasy VII Remake has been delayed, though, and at the moment it's coming to PS4 on April the 10th, and you can pre-order it now for a whopping £60.
I feel trapped.
Now, remember this trailer from last year?
We have a city to burn.
The internet went crazy when it was revealed that Keanu Reeves of The Matrix was going to be starring in a game. That game is called Cyberpunk 2077, developed by the same team that made The Witcher 3.
Hey, and we're going to hear from the voice of The Witcher 3 later. Sorry, carry on.
It's an open-world action-adventure story set in Night City, a megalopolis. A megalopolis! Is that right? Yes, it's a word. Apparently. That's obsessed with power, glamour and body modification. You play as a mercenary outlaw going after a one-of-a-kind implant that is the key to immortality. Cyberpunk 2077 is out on April 16th on PlayStation, Xbox, Windows and Google Stadia for £50. Not too bad. Or you can get the collector's edition for £250 if you have money to burn. Hopefully, it contains the key to immortality for that price.
Cyberpunk!
And one more for you. We reviewed the trailer for this game in our October episode. The Last of Us Part 2 continues the story of Ellie. Now she has to fight against a cannibal cult, and it seems that Joel, who you played as in the last game, will be making a return. Think zombies. Oh, sorry, clickers. They'll be back as well.
Scale of 1 to 10. How would you rate our kiss from last night?
Get off me! Please stop!
The Last of Us Part 2 has been delayed, though, to May the 29th, retailing at £50 on PS4. Hopefully, it will be worth the wait.
Hey, Lee.
Yeah, huh?
When was the last time you sent a letter?
Well, do Christmas cards count?
Yeah, they actually do count.
Okay, yeah.
Well, Royal Mail are releasing some special limited edition stamps.
Are they dinosaurs?
No.
They've got bunnies on.
This is not a dinosaur podcast.
Oh.
Right now, you
we can should start one.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Dinosaur of the week. Right. To be continued.
Okay.
Right now, though, you can order the video games presentation pack, which includes 8 special stamps for £14.25, and they come out today.
What?
The funniest thing is that they sent us some stamps in the post. As a preview special.
Let me guess, they're not here.
Do you know what happened?
They got lost in the post.
They couldn't get through the letterbox, so we've got to go to the post office to get them tomorrow.
Why? That's Are you
what
joking?
That's what that note is, I've just remembered. You know the note that came through the door? So anyway, they'll be here, but not while we're recording.
So what, do we not know what they look like
No,
at
we
all?
Do. Thankfully, we do know what they look like. So you can get a limited edition, which is, there's only 2,500 of those, but the normal stamps that you can get. You can get ones that have worms on. Second class stamp with worms. Lemmings, first class.
Yeah.
Sensible Soccer, first class. You're not seeming like you're being lit up by the games
that
have been chosen.
Why have we got Crash Bandicoot?
Micro Machines.
Tomb Raider.
Wipeout.
All right.
But you can get a framed stamp set for £25.
Calm yourself.
But the problem is that you can't use them because they're in a frame. So I don't know what good that is. But anyway, to each their own.
I think this is the most I'm ever going to be excited about a stamp. I'm not saying stamps are bad. I'm just saying they're not my thing.
I like the idea that this is a thing, though, and stamp collectors will genuinely be quite excited.
I tell you what, then. If you're a stamp collector, I'll sell you them for a good price.
I don't think that you can do that.
You can email me or Twitter. I'm on Twitter.
Oh, wow. Okay. If you want to check out the pictures, though, they're on royalmail.com/videogames, and there actually are some Tomb Raider ones if you want to look out for them, excited by.
That's good.
But this is the newest set that is available now. The thing I can't imagine is how many gamers are writing letters to their nan with a special gaming... Do you know what I mean? Like, who is the...
Maybe they post a letter to their mum downstairs with their food request.
This is what I want for dinner.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if that's you, you can get hold of them now.
Power up.
I don't know if you know this already.
Yeah, we do.
I'm a huge Pokemon fan.
Yeah.
Particularly Pikachu.
Wow, so, shout out to Pikachu there.
Shout out to Pikachu. So as you can imagine, I was pretty excited to hear this news. The new Pokemon Sword and Shield expansions have just been announced, and they'll release in two parts. So you've got the Isle of Armor, which will come out in June.
American spelling, though, which annoys me. Armor.
Armor.
Mm, so that's June, yeah.
And the Crown Tundra
in autumn. Yeah, exciting stuff. So 200 more Pokemon. They've got classic ones coming back, though. Does that excite you that the classic Pokemons are coming? Why?
Because I like the new ones.
I really like the new ones
as well. Pretty cool, aren't they?
I'm not bothered.
There's loads of bunny ones.
The problem is that there's been a bit of a backlash because they are bringing back the original Pokemon. A lot of people are saying, well, hang on a second, you've taken them out the game and then you're charging us to pay for this extra expansion pass to put them back in the game.
I don't think... Do you really need more Pokemon?
I don't, to be honest. This is more exciting because there's a new island and some of the existing new Pokemon have got new special magic forms.
Yeah.
And that's the most exciting thing about it. We'll talk about this more in the coming months anyway.
If you haven't played the latest version, there's a new type of temporary evolution, kind of where your Pokemon becomes massive. It's called Going Gigantamax.
But there was some controversy about that, wasn't there?
Yeah, that's right. A Pokemon called Inteleon, which is the third and final form of Sobble, this generation's water-based starter Pokemon, has a massive gun when it goes Gigantamax.
Now, it looks a bit like a sniper in a nest with a huge gun.
Mm.
And I don't know. I mean, okay, Wartortle has a big gun on its back, but like cannons, but it fires water.
Mm-hmm.
This seems to fire a gun at other Pokemon. I don't know. Do you think that's okay in a children's game to have a Pokemon that's... But it looks like a military soldier. I'll just show you the picture there of it. I don't think you've seen it until right now. What do you think?
It's not too bad.
Yeah. It does look a little bit...
I thought I'd see something with like army colours on and a bit more human, but it's not too bad. It looks like an alien with a big...
like a harpoon thing. Didgeridoo?
Yeah.
Nobody has said that on the internet, that it looks like an alien playing the didgeridoo. Some people say it looks like the kind of Pokemon that could commit war crimes. That's quite a funny comment, to be honest.
It just goes to show like how my mind works.
Yeah. Well, the expansions, though, are available now if you want them.
Yeah, they're £27, which gets you both parts, and they work for either Pokemon Sword or Pokemon Shield.
Now, Netflix has released The Witcher, a new series running for 8 episodes, hugely popular. And in fact, because of the TV show, as well as a reduction in the price for the actual game itself, and the release of the game on Nintendo Switch, more people are playing The Witcher 3 now than when it was first launched. That's crazy, isn't it? That a game that came out 4 or 5 years ago is more popular today.
Do you think every company hopes that a film will come out shortly after their
game? I really do. This is the dream situation. Mm. And this is the same company that's making Cyberpunk 2077. I actually sent them a message this month saying, do you want to have a chat about The Witcher?
Mm.
And they said, we're so flat out making Cyberpunk, we just haven't got time, but thanks so much for the message. So they're hugely busy. And now they're just having like a huge secondary success with a game that's been out for 5 years.
Wow.
Crazy. 92,000 people played the game on Steam when it first came out in 2015. The other day, when The Witcher TV series was released, 94,000 players.
Wow.
At the same
time.
That's
pretty good.
That's huge, isn't it? If you haven't seen The Witcher or you haven't been aware of the game, this is a trailer for the game.
Fearing all manner of goose hacks and wraiths.
Nice tune. Been a while since I heard it last.
Folk have forgotten it.
Got other things on their mind.
Things like me.
They paid me for you.
In times past, no amount of coin would convince a witcher to take this contract.
Times have changed.
The company's also using hashtag Switcher.
Yeah, I like Switch it. Release. That's good.
That's really good, isn't it?
Love it.
You haven't really played this one, though, have you?
No, because I've seen the TV, I've seen the program, and I'm not convinced. Yeah. It's not my sort of thing.
It's high fantasy. It's not quite like Lord of the Rings, but it's definitely in that same vein.
Yeah.
Going back, you know, it's a good opportunity to experience it now for super cheap as well. I've been speaking to the voice of the lead character, who's called Geralt. He is the Witcher from the series. It's the fantastic Doug Cockle. So first of all, what did he make of the TV series and this new success for the game?
Well, it's great. It's wonderful. The Netflix TV series was really well done, in my opinion. I absolutely loved it. And the fact that it's leading people back to Witcher 3, the game, is just fantastic because it's a great game. So, you know, if people are discovering it via the Netflix series, that can only be a good thing.
What did you make of the series itself? Because I absolutely loved it, and I agree with you, it was very well done. And it took me a couple of episodes to realize that it wasn't necessarily all in chronological order. Did you find that as well?
Yeah, it took me a while to get into that. That was the one criticism I had of it, actually. I thought everything was done so well. It might have helped the audience a little bit more at the beginning to understand the time jumps.
Yeah.
Once I clocked it, I got it because I've read the books.
Of course, yeah.
So, you know, I understood where we were jumping to and from. And apparently, if you look closely, there are clues at the end or the beginning of each time jump telling us where we're going and where we've arrived. But I haven't gone back to look for those yet. I've only seen each episode once so far.
I mean, I went back and played The Witcher again because of all this hype. You know, I completed it and played it all through. And I thought, oh, this series is great. I really want to play it. So I got it on the Switch, which I'd never had before. And that's opened it up to a whole new audience as well, because technologically now, on a console you can carry around, it's kind of crazy.
It's insane. I think it's great. As soon as I heard that it was coming out on Switch, I was just like, yes, because it does. It opens up a whole different audience, because there are people who are just Nintendo. You know, that's all they want to know. That's all they know. So all those people who may not have been able to play The Witcher or who never thought about it, now they can.
I can hear, it's interesting because my favourite voice actors, and I've listened to interviews with you before, my favourite voice actors have very different voices from their speaking voice. In fact, on our last episode, we spoke to the voice of Ash Ketchum, which is Veronica Taylor, and she was, you know, a pregnant lady playing a 10-year-old boy. So it was very kind of different skill for her. Where did the voice develop for you? Because they must have had some ideas about what they liked. Or was it an audition process? Or did you just say, this is how I feel Geralt is?
Well, it kind of evolved a little bit over time. I think if you go back to early Witcher 1 stuff and then listen to Blood and Wine Geralt, they're probably a little bit different.
Yeah,
I would imagine they are, partly because I quit smoking between Witcher 1 and Witcher 2. The whole quality of my voice shifted a tiny bit. So I had to audition for Witcher 1. And when I went to the audition, and I understand I'm really shortening, you know,
of course.
Things that happened. But basically we got, you know, I was in the room for 15 or 20 minutes and Boris from CD Projekt was there and he was auditioning. And he suggested, think about, because we were trying different things and he described the character to me and that he was emotionless and that, you know, he had to have a fairly flat delivery. And and so after playing with him for a while, he said, well, you know, just Doug, think about Clint Eastwood in the Dirty Harry films, go for something like that. You know, go ahead, punk, make my day kind of thing. And that's kind of where the inspiration that pushed us in the direction that ended up being Geralt's voice.
As you get lower, there's definitely hints of Geralt that start to come in, I notice.
This is the thing, is that in Witcher 1, when we were recording that, it was a really difficult voice for me to achieve. My voice just didn't go down there. But now Geralt is just part of my voice, so it's not something I have to work terribly hard to achieve.
Wow.
But I joke that I've damaged my voice so much that now my voice is like that. But it's actually more like with an athlete, you know, because the voice is a muscle.
Yeah, for sure.
And so just like with an athlete, you know, they train to break muscle down, to build it up again, stronger and more flexible.
Yes, of course.
So it's the same thing with the voice. Basically, over the years, I trained my voice to go to Geralt's voice without having to push.
I want to ask you about one of the most vocally difficult things to get, because I don't know how you do this. And there's a, particularly with Geralt, and I want to ask you about, you know, your feelings on Henry Cavill's attempt at the voice as well, but there's a lot of just him going that's like one of the classic things he does as a character, just he goes like that.
Yeah.
But you've got to get that in his voice. How on earth can you hum and kind of just grunt but in another voice? Like, I don't get that at all. How on earth do you do that?
Well, it's just like doing it, you know, yourself, you know. You identify the qualities that your character has, and then they just have to behave with those qualities.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the situation that they're in.
It's a good one. And can I ask you about your feelings on Henry Cavill's voice in The Witcher? Because it's so inspired by your performance. I personally feel. I mean, they obviously sort of thought, what do people know from the video game world as The Witcher? Because his delivery is very similar to the one that you do, but obviously, you know, people do their own take and stuff. But how do you feel about that?
It's great. I love it. And Henry actually, well, Henry told me himself, standing in front of me, that he used my performance as inspiration for his own choices as far as the voice was concerned.
Oh, cool.
And he's gone on record as well. I think it was a Forbes interview or something like that, where he does say, you know, Doug Cockle did the voice in the game and he did a fantastic job. And so I used that as a starting place to find my own voice for Geralt. But what I've always felt myself, me, not Henry, is that Geralt's the kind of character who he can't have any other voice than that kind of gruff,
yes,
growly voice. That's just what he needs. I just think he does a marvelous job. He looks great. He sounds great. He moves great. I mean, his fight scenes are fantastic. I know that's, you know, the choreography is done by other people, but he performs them really, really well. It's just a nice feeling.
Yeah. And I'd love to hear you interviewing him and him interviewing you in character.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
I'd love to sit down over coffee or something and have this actually videoed and both of us just have a conversation in our Geralt voices.
I'm going to suggest it to somebody and see if we can make that happen. That would be amazing.
Doug Cockle, and you can download an extended edition of this chat now by heading to the Naked Scientist in Short Specials podcast. Now, there seems to be a rise in gaming bars and gaming coffee houses too. There's a brand new esports centre and gaming arcade set to open in Lincolnshire, the Arcade Warehouse, which will open in Scunthorpe.
There's also this thing called G2U, which is like gaming 2U with the number 2. They're based in Coventry and they say they can bring you the ultimate gaming party straight to your door. They have a kitted out gaming truck. It can accommodate 14 children in comfort, it says. Or 12 adults. So what? Not
no, the best thing is with heating or air conditioning. I mean, that is needed in a gaming place.
Aircon is key.
It's key.
It's crucial, I'll tell you what.
So we didn't want to miss out on all the hype around new gaming venues. So we went to Akido Gaming Bar in Lincoln to have a go at some of the games there.
My name's Toby. I'm from Lincoln. I own the gaming bar here, Akido.
You've already had a sneak peek and a quick practice on Sonic, which is cheating.
Loved it. Absolutely smashed it for my first go as well. Never lost it.
So just tell us a bit about this bar and how long have you been going for?
I've been open for nearly 3 years. I opened in Halloween 2016. I got the idea from the bar from living in Korea for 4 years. And there were lots of places where you could go and play PC games like StarCraft and all that. And then I came back home after 4 years and I thought, you know, well, I needed to do something. And obviously I like video games and that, so I thought, maybe do my own twist on it, make it with the craft beers and the consoles rather than PCs, and make it like a social place where people can come and hang out and play games and drink beer. and gives people something to do.
How popular are you? Because we've been in here about, what, 10, 15 minutes, and you've had customers in and out of the door already. There's clearly a demand for it.
Yeah, like, I mean, it could always be better, but it's quite niche. Lincoln's quite a small town. I think maybe I suffer with the population side of things, but when it's busy, it's busy, and but it's unpredictable. Like today will probably be a nice flow because it's raining, or it's too hot, people want to get out of here and sit in a cool basement. But yeah, all in all, it's good and it's popular and people love it here.
Do you want to have a go at this?
Yeah, let's see if we can find a versus game.
This looks a little bit like those arcade machines where you can select, apparently, you've got Game Boy Color, you've got Sega, Mega Drive, Nintendo, PSP, you've got everything on here, okay? So you can, apparently, there's 10,000 games on here, so let's pick one, Chris. Sega Mega Drive, one of my favourite games, Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
I've just realised that Tails in Sonic the Hedgehog is called Miles Per Hour. Miles Power, Miles Per Hour. Did you see it? Do you notice
that? No.
Yeah, so he's called Miles Tails Power.
No, he's not.
He is. He just said it on the introduction.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Blow my mind there.
Okay. So this is the version I used to have. Right, Emerald Hill Zone.
Oh, no.
There you are. Look, mate.
All right. Smashing is it a race?
Absolutely smashing it. So I used to play this all the time when I was a kid. I think this was probably the first game... the first game that I got when I got my Sega Mega Drive.
I'm just going to make you do all the talking so I win, basically.
And I must have been about, what, seven?
Some of these games, man, I can't believe they even made them. Snoopy and the Red Baron. VR time, first time ever, baby. It's a massive headset.
So right now, Chris has got the headset on. I can see what he's doing on the screen behind him. And he's got, like two little controls in his hands, which are like neon colours, and he's trying to slice some objects which are flying at him they're lightsabers. And he's having a practice at the minute, and it's so bizarre because I can actually see what he can see through his headset. What's it like, Chris?
It's amazing. It's like Dance Mat Revolution or whatever it's called, but with lightsabers, and it's sort of like flying at you, so you feel like if you don't get it right, you're going to like get smashed in the face by a brick.
What do I do? What do I press?
The right one.
Whoosh! Whoosh! Yeah, man. Bring it. So how much do these sets normally cost, Chris?
They're quite expensive. I think you're looking at like 200 quid or so.
Okay.
Why, did you want one?
Yeah.
So just walking back to the car now after my first ever game bar experience. Have you ever been to one before?
Nope. I was a game bar virgin before we came here.
How did you find the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great because there are going to be people out there that can't afford a console to begin with who can come here. We saw down there a young girl with probably her brothers who the mum and dad have probably said, go on, here's a fiver, go and spend the day there. They know they're in a safe environment playing games all day. But alternatively, I think it's just to kind of get people out who play a lot of games, the kind of stereotypes of them stuck in their bedrooms, to actually go out and socialise as well as playing games, which I think is just a great thing.
What was your favourite moment of going to the gaming bar experience then? Was it playing some of those?
It's got to be watching you waving your arms about, not knowing what the hell you're doing and having a 14-year-old girl tell you what to do. I really enjoyed that.
All right, let's go home.
It was awesome.
The first time I'd ever played virtual reality gaming, if you remember, because we went a few months ago now, it was so much fun. And it was a real great chance because we played the Switch there for the first time as well before we bought one. Kids just came together and kind of hung out, and
it's a good place to kind of interact with other people for people that don't get out of their bedrooms.
Exactly right. It's almost like it was designed to be a sort of
meeting point
like
like-minded people.
Like a bedroom with lots of posters on the walls and stuff like that. It was really cool anyway.
So if there's a good gaming bar near you, let us know and we'll do a roundup in a future episode. You can tweet us at NakedGamingPod. You're listening to the Naked Gaming Podcast with Chris Berrow and me, Lee Milner.
And the time has come to look at new releases.
Yeah, but there are barely any.
There are really no...
At all.
Almost no new releases at all.
Literally everyone spent all their money on some big event in December.
What was that? Anyway, I've moved on from it.
All right.
Too much Irish cream was consumed. Carry on. It was good though, wasn't it?
Okay, well, let's go sporty, something we haven't done in a long time. With the release... Well,
everyone's getting back to running, so you want to go sporty because it's the new year.
Okay. With the release of AO International Tennis 2, which obviously stands for Australian Open.
So we're going to see who the best tennis player is. I actually used to be quite good at tennis. I had a friend called Corin, and I must have played him about 30 times in our childhood, and he never beat me.
Right. Is this the kind of the same sort of friend that played you at rugby and then...
No, this was the friend who played 700 hours of World of Warcraft in 1 year.
Did he ever get outside of his bedroom?
Not so much.
Right then.
So it was...
So you basically beat a hardcore gamer who doesn't really do sport?
Yeah.
Well, that's not really fair, is it?
But can you imagine if I'd lost? But anyway, so we're going to play this. We're going to find out who the best tennis player is here. Do you play much tennis when you were a kid?
It's not really that popular in Yorkshire.
Wakefield, yeah. Tennis is not big.
No, not really.
Rugby league, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, get ready to be destroyed.
Bring it.
I've already picked my player, mate. I'm already Rafael.
Well, I'm Rafael.
While you
now,
were talking.
No, I'm Rafael.
No,
Nadal.
I've already picked it.
We can't have Rafael Nadal versus Rafael Nadal.
Yeah, you can.
But you know he's my favourite player.
All right, then. Have we got Novak Djokovic?
There's only certain licensed players, by the way,
right.
In this game. Right.
I'll be Anderson.
Let's read the controls. Slice serve, flat serve, topspin serve, underarm serve. I'm going to underarm serve you really hard at one point.
I'm going to lob you.
It takes quite a while to load, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's like the rugby game that we played, though. The controls...
What, that are... I absolutely...
Oh, sorry, I don't know why I brought that up, actually.
I smashed you to the ground. I like this bit. This is my favourite bit.
The beginning bit?
Yeah.
The music.
Anderson's got orange legs.
Oh, this is like the highlights, really, except we haven't done any highlights yet, so... Right, choose the coin toss. I'm choosing tails. That's quite cool that you get to do that. Right, you won the toss, so you can, what, serve?
Okay. I'm serving, mate.
Nadal? He's Nadal. Right, come on then, mate. Here
From
we go.
Yorkshire. Nadal.
Nadal.
Oosh. Yes. Oh, bring it!
Quite difficult, isn't it?
This is a good rally.
This is like when we play tennis. It's like really slow. Yes! I think I'm going to play this game a bit more role-playing now. So I'm going to really be Nadal. So I hope you're ready for this.
I'm doing a different player.
Which one are you? An older player? An older player?
Who grunts like that?
Nobody in this world. What's wrong with you? They don't seem to run very fast for supreme athletes, do they? Are you finding them a bit slow?
I don't know how to run faster, though.
No, I don't. Neither do I. I don't really know anything about this game. Oh, you've done an underarm serve! How are you feeling now?
I still don't get it.
You know you can challenge the call.
No.
I'm challenging your call, mate.
I love it.
Official review from Hawkeye, and it's absolutely massively in.
I love it.
It couldn't be more.
This is great. It's like being at Wimbledon.
Right.
Win predictor, 72% the doll.
The game is predicting that I'm going to win, but only 72% of the time.
Oosh!
Oh. Yes! Redemption for Rugby 20. My new... Have you challenged it?
Yes.
Why have you challenged the court? It's so in. They're like, Anderson, you
wow,
need to
retire.
Wow,
that's a big stadium. Where's that? Nadal looks a little bit chubbier on the cheeks than this. I don't think he's going to be happy with that.
He looks a bit like a hamster,
doesn't
he?
Maybe it's during his off-season.
What, he plays this?
It's been Christmas.
He's playing computer games on the
Nadal.
Couch. So
he's like, got to get fit for Wimbledon.
So what did you think of that?
I mean, it's all right.
What, my biggest problem is that there's only one licensed player that I would want to play as.
He hasn't really got a great selection.
It's got Nadal and
Anderson. Conte.
But apparently you can import lookalike players. So you can import like a created character that looks like Federer. Would you be more bothered by this if it was on the Switch?
I'd be more bothered about this if it was released during Wimbledon than Mr. Right Trick.
The Australian Open is on right now.
Yeah, but it's Wimbledon.
This is Australian Open 2.
Is it?
International.
I just thought it was a tennis game.
Okay, your review doesn't count anymore.
So that happened. Glorious victory. Although as we said, not a huge amount of players to choose from. They need to license Federer and Andy Murray and Djokovic, because you can't play as any of those players without doing a weird download thing.
Yeah.
What was your rating out of 10 for AO International Tennis 2?
I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10, because it's like, it's okay if you want to play a bit of tennis. It's all right, but I think there are probably better tennis games out there.
So AO International Tennis 2 is available now on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, which actually I would recommend it on if I were you. You can also get it on PC. Quite expensive, £50.
Ah! You're listening to the Naked Gaming Podcast with Chris Barrow and me, Lee Milner. Now it's time for Retro Revival, my favourite part of the programme, with a game called To the Moon.
This has only just come out. It's a revival of a classic game from 2011, although I'd never played it. And let me just give you a flavour of what the game is. It's a bit like Pokemon in terms of the Game Boy Pokemon that we used to play. So you move up, down, left and right. It's a bit like Zelda, which is the same thing on the Game Boy. Just give us the synopsis for the game, because I'm really intrigued, because I know you haven't played it, and I've literally just played it now because it came out a few days ago. Played it for the first time on Switch. Tell me the synopsis here.
Okay, so it says it's a meditative... meditative experience that explores human mortality. So apparently the story follows two, it says, charming doctors.
They weren't charming, but I'll get to that.
All right, then. As they attempt to rebuild the memories of a dying man in order to fulfill his final wishes.
So it sounds quite...
That's horrific.
Grim, isn't it? Now,
so it's like, is it like the bucket list?
No. Oh. It's not Laugh a Minute, to be honest, as a game. These doctors, so basically how it goes is at the very beginning of the game, the doctors crash a car because they're trying to avoid a squirrel in the road. So they hit a tree.
Just a little, you know, warning to anybody who sees a squirrel on the road, don't avoid it.
Well, because they crashed their car.
Exactly.
Well, it turned out that they also did hit the squirrel as well.
Oh, wow,
so bad. The squirrel doesn't make it, spoiler alert, everybody. It is minute one of the game. The old man is... lying in bed, and you go up to his house and they go, oh, we've been expecting you, Dr. A and Dr. B. And then they go, right, we're here to grant a final wish, because that's what we do. Why do you do that? Anyway, so they go, the people around this guy, they go, right, well, his final wish is that he wants to go to the moon, which is why the game's called To the Moon.
Why didn't he just wish that he was...
never ill.
Yeah. Or why didn't he wish that he was, like, you know... born again.
Yeah.
Well, why doesn't he wish that he was younger?
Anything. But he wants to go to the moon. So they go, yes, we can make that happen. And that's when I stopped playing the game.
Oh, wow.
I'd had enough.
Is that it?
That's it. The problem is, in this day and age, you should be able to move diagonally. Even in chess, the bishops can move diagonally. Wow. But in this game, you can't move diagonally. It's too retro. If you're going to update and upgrade a game... make it better. Like Pokemon is a perfect example. Let's go Pikachu.
So we'll never find out, though, if the man ever got to the moon.
Are you telling me you want me to carry on playing this game?
Bailey does, by the sound of it.
I know, he's been scratched away. The amount of edits on this programme, anyway.
So what would you give it out of 10?
It's getting a 0 out of 10, because it's the same shape as the moon. I would recommend instead to get a game called Octopath Traveler, which sounds super weird, but it's basically the same kind of thing, but you can move diagonally.
Okay.
And there's four stories, and it's really, really good. I've been playing that loads this month. So Octopath Traveler's out on Switch. So is To the Moon. You can get it on PC, Android, and iOS for around £10. So it's not expensive. Maybe you could tell us what happens in the end.
Now to our new feature... our simulator of the month.
Yes. I was excited to do this because we've been talking about simulators for ages. There's loads of them and they're coming out all the time. So why don't we just feature one every month? Because they seem to be hilarious and funny. And we did Surgeon Simulator last month with Dr. Chris Smith.
He was great.
It was really funny, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So let's hand it over now to our reporter of reporters, the only one we had available, Alex Rhodes.
Aww. Now, he decided that he'd take some holiday just as we launch our regular Simulator of the Month feature. And we were going to get him to do it.
Yeah, it's not really good enough as far as I'm concerned. So I decided to make him do it anyway, even though he's on holiday.
No!
Yeah.
But isn't he skiing in the Alps, like, right now?
Yeah.
Like, right now?
Yeah.
He... with his girlfriend.
No, she's not actually there.
Oh.
I saw her in work the other day.
Oh, dear. That's probably why. She probably said, you know, go with your game then instead.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello, Chris and Lee. Today, I'm on holiday. but I know you guys expect nothing but constant work ethic. So I've decided to review a ski game. It offers an authentic experience. It says a genuine ski simulation. So I've decided to test that. In the French Alps, about 1,800 metres above sea level at the moment. Bonjour, sir. We're just about to get on the ski lift now, actually, but I think it's not a very long one, so I think we can probably play a couple of games before. There we go. We sat down. Right, let me just boot it up on my phone. Bring down the bar first. Okay. Ski champion, where are we? Right. This app was free. This holiday's probably cost close to £1,000. I know we don't have an expenses account, so I just cloned your card, Lee, and I've put it on that. We'll have a discussion about it when I get back to the office. Right, let's see if we'll put the sound on. Okay, so World Tour, ski champion. Global Challenge pits all the best skiers against each other, blah, blah, blah. Let's go on that. Unique reward, season end. Okay. I don't know any of the buttons, but the end is looming, so let's just try and learn it. We're starting at Sochi, home of the Winter Olympics 1 year. Start. 3, 2, 1, go. Now, the graphics aren't great. I don't know what I'm doing. It's motion-controlled, so I just go through the things like that. Okay, I'm going through the little ski gates at the moment, like you see on the slalom in the Olympic event. I've smashed into one there. My phone says it's got low battery because it's very, very cold. So we'll see how long this lasts. I've just boosted up into the air. This isn't quite like the Olympics anymore. I'm bombing it down. I've fallen down. This is quite authentic to my skiing experience this year. There's coins as well. Again, I don't think that's the same in the Olympics. As far as I can tell, there aren't any hovering gold coins in Japan this year. Okay, right, that's how we go through there. I'm doing quite well. I've got quite the speed on. How far are we from the end of this ski lift? We've got a bit more yet. Okay, right. Let's go down there. No, turn left. Right, okay, down there. The sounds you can hear in the background aren't the game. I can't switch the sound on because my battery's so low. They're actually the skiers underneath us. I've completed level one. There you go. I got through. 40 seconds, 54 coins, not too bad. Fun little time waster when you're on a lift. I should be looking at the glorious cliffs and the lovely snow on a lovely blue day here, but I'm not. I'm staring at my phone, like, deep down. I've always wanted to do for every second of this holiday so far, so thank you for that, Chris and Lee. You can probably hear in the background what's probably... it's DLC, I suppose, to the real skiing experience. That's La Folle Douce, it's an après ski bar at the moment, where yesterday we saw someone from Made in Chelsea. So there you go. He looked miserable. So you don't get that on an app. A really depressed reality TV star. But, you get a lot of other bits and pieces on the game as well. It's not very clear what you have to do on the start, but I expect if you pay a bit more attention to the game, then you'll pick it up a bit quicker than I do. We're about to sort of land now off the ski lift and skate over to La Folle Douce, where it looks like it's absolutely bouncing at the moment. They get people to stand on the tables and go, "Hello, party people, are you excited?" Again, lacking from the game. I think it could probably certainly do with that. Right, so how many? We've got two chairs in front of us before touchdown. Here we go. Right, chair up. Okay, and now getting ready to touch the ball. And here we are. So, as I say, Chris and Lee, not a bad game. If the bank has called you, Lee, about suspicious activity on your card, just ignore that. I'm going to probably get a few pints in at La Folle Douce. They're not very cheap, but we'll work it out when I get back to the office.
On behalf of Chris,
don't apologise to Alex. No.
Well, I'm sorry, Alex, right? I'm really sorry that we got you to do it. Because he's on holiday.
Yeah. The funny thing is as well that we've actually already recorded a bit about Coffee Talk, which is our simulator of the month. This month, actually, but
that's
I just didn't.
Really mean.
I didn't want
that's
to let
really,
Alex.
Why do you look really happy with yourself?
So
you look really happy.
I could have just asked him to
stop
do it next
smiling.
Month, but instead, thanks, Alex, for your efforts.
Stop kidding around, Snake.
Well, that's it for this month. Remember, you can subscribe.
We're on Acast, iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher. Although I don't know what Stitcher is.
Yeah.
But go to Stitcher and really investigate Stitcher this month.
And review us as well. Yeah. Give us a review. Say we're fab.
Or don't. But do.
Please.
You can see some of the other reviews there. And the first ever review of this podcast was from...
Bailey the bunny rabbit.
Yes, who's been really annoying this episode. Like,
well, you've bought him a new £10 treat,
don't
haven't you?
Don't go on about
this. This is great. He spent £10 on this treat, and he had to forage for it, right?
So it's a container that's covered in stuff that he likes to eat, like seeds and grass and stuff.
And he has to forage for it.
In it, there's hemp, and then there's within the hemp is some special
but what Bailey
treats.
Did, because Bailey's very clever, is that he went to the side of this container, just pulled the hemp off and revealed all the treats and helped himself.
Ate them all. £10 for a rabbit treat that
lasted. That's why I don't buy Bailey the bunny any presents.
£10 for 1 hour.
Have you learnt your lesson?
I mean, I'm thinking about ordering one online.
You could buy to the moon with that.
I could. Can you imagine?
No, actually, buy that for Bailey.
I know, exactly. You can subscribe to this programme, so please do. You can also head to thenakedscientists.com. There's loads of good stuff there. Transcripts, you can get all our previous episodes as well. This is episode number 13, but we didn't mention it until right at the end, in case something went...
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.